The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
We will never give up. We will never concede. It doesn't happen. You don't concede when there's theft involved. I know that everyone here will soon be marching over to the Capitol building to peacefully and patriotically make your voices heard.
On the steps of the backside of the Capitol, we're seeing protesters overcome the police. The police are now running back.
This entrance, police stand aside and allow rioters to stream in unchallenged. On the north side of the building, police in riot gear yield and let the crowd in.
This is looking at inside door. Look at this. These protesters are inside Statuary Hall right now. You see the statues. This is a moment I never saw in my life. These individuals just rushed through security. They are inside Statuary Hall.
But you have to go home now. We have to have peace. We have to have peace. So go home. But go home and go home in peace.
Donald J. Trump called for the insurrection against the United States of America.
You talked about Al-Qaeda. What has he done in terms of incitement, right? That Osama bin Laden didn't do.
Each of these people should be shamed, and they're going to go back, you know, to the Olive Garden and to the Holiday Inn that they're staying at.
The way that we in the media speak about this is so important.
Today was terrorism.
We call them terrorists.
Terrorists.
Domestic terrorists.
Domestic terrorists.
Domestic terrorists.
These people are not Americans.
Kevin McCarthy was on Fox calling this un-American. Marco Rubio.
I don't know. There's a lot of empty rhetoric. There's a lot of empty concern.
And if Donald Trump Jr., Rudy Giuliani, and Donald Trump are not arrested today for insurrection and taken to jail, and boom, Trump supporters come in and you open the doors for them. You open the doors for them and let them breach the people's house.
I'm not against sending these people to Gitmo.
By MAGA terrorists.
The MAGA terrorist mob.
A terrorist attack on the U.S. Capitol.
Far-right domestic terrorism, a huge problem in this country.
You talked about Al-Qaeda. What has he done in terms of incitement, right? That Osama bin Laden didn't do.
No external terrorists ever did this to us. We've never worried like this, even after 9/11.
But there were 74 plus million people who voted for him.
The worst attack on our democracy since the Civil War.
Hey! Hey, man. Glad to see you guys. Patriots, look at this guy. He's got blood. God bless you.
We will. I've been making sure they ain't disrespecting the place.
The year in review is upon us. Hard to believe. We've got a lot to pack into this show and tomorrow's. It's really two parts. Some of the footage that you're about to see, you've seen before if you're a regular viewer to this program. Welcome back, by the way. You're listening to Stephen Fleury. This is the Trumpet Daily. But there's also quite a bit of additional footage that Sam and the crew have worked into this mega montage. You're going to see a theme running throughout today's show that has to do with something we've talked often about, America under attack. And I think another thing that really stands out is the propaganda. You heard one in the media there say, the way we speak about this is so important. And that really is true with just about every story they've covered over the past year. It's not important to just convey the facts of what happened. It's the way they speak about it. It's the narrative. So we'll carry on with this mega montage, and I'll be back right at the end of the show to wrap things up. Enjoy.
Officer Brian Sicknick died after being hit in the head with a fire extinguisher during the hours-long attack.
They beat a Capitol Police officer to death with a fire extinguisher.
Officer Brian Sicknick died after being hit in the head with a fire extinguisher during the fight.
He died at the age of 42 after he was bludgeoned with a fire extinguisher.
Do you anticipate sedition charges against some of these suspects?
I believe the facts do support those charges.
Has there been any insurrection charges?
I don't believe so.
Well, I spoke to some folks who said that there were weapons recovered.
What they mean by armed is guns. That's not necessarily what armed
means. Yeah, like you can't whoop somebody without a gun.
Or with bear spray.
Yeah.
Or with pepper
Fists.
Spray.
How many firearms were confiscated in the Capitol or on Capitol grounds during that day?
To my knowledge, we have not recovered any on that day from any other arrests at the scene at this point.
Less than a week before Joe Biden is sworn in as the next president, the nation's capital has transformed from a tourist attraction to a military zone.
The Pentagon confirming the FBI vetting about 25,000 National Guard troops over concerns of a potential insider attack. We should point out there's no evidence of any threats at this point.
By inauguration day, 20,000 troops will occupy the area, many armed.
Tonight, D.C. is planning to lock down more streets ahead of inauguration day.
Razor wire will be installed on the fence surrounding the U.S. Capitol.
Behind a 7-foot unscalable fence. You see military vehicles and the National Guard surrounding buildings.
Outside the House chamber today, a rare and truly stunning sight. National Guard members sleeping on the marble floors of the Capitol overnight, stationed there to protect the building against any threat.
Meantime, at the White House, the soon-to-be former president continues to shatter norms.
He looks small. He just looks like a small man.
What a difference 4 years makes. He had a very impressive, huge crowd at his inauguration. It's going to be a little pathetic, a tiny little crowd at Joint Base Andrews, where he's going to say goodbye.
He's almost leaving town like an autocrat, ousted from power, heading off into exile.
He leaves with the lowest approval ratings of any president after one term in the history of scientific polling. And here is President-elect Biden and soon-to-be First Lady Jill Biden. They waited for Donald Trump to have his moment. They are going to go to mass right now.
There's a cleansing. There's an air of cleansing about today.
The cause of democracy, the people, the will of the people has been heard, and the will of the people has been heeded. We've learned again that democracy is precious, democracy is fragile. And at this hour, my friends, democracy has prevailed.
I've been listening to these inaugural addresses since 1961, John F. Kennedy, Ask Not. I thought this was the best inaugural address I ever heard.
Tonight, a third article of impeachment served to the Senate against Donald Trump. This ceremony, the handing over of the impeachment, just a year from the last article walkover by House managers, all of this done in context. We must remember what brought us to this point. We must remember what happened on January 6th.
You know, ISIS did not have a domestic constituency in the United States Congress.
And the question is, how are we going to really almost deprogram these people?
I guarantee you that virtually every county
in this country has some sort of extremist presence.
If you voted for Trump, you voted for the person who the Klan supported.
So I wanted to ensure, and our office wanted to ensure, that there was shock and awe, that we could charge as many people as possible.
The FBI confirms Weebling was arrested this morning. In January, the FBI arrested former HPD officer Tam Pham.
The FBI arrested Nashville bartender Eric Munchel.
Montoni was arrested.
Investigators also picked up Joshua Lawler.
Two Kansas women have been arrested now in connection to that January 6th insurrection at the U.S. Capitol.
Federal agents on their block raiding a home. Some investigators with Joint Terrorism Task Force written on their jackets.
The FBI arrested Bradley Weeks of Baker County Thursday morning. It's what brought dozens of police seen on video from inside this McClinney Waffle House.
It was just before 6 a.m. when a team of agents with shields, weapons drawn, descended on the home of Glenn Allen Brooks, former UCLA student Christian Sakur. This was the FBI bust at his Costa Mesa home back in February.
The News 4 cameras were rolling as federal and local law enforcement raided the home of Lake St. Louis man believed to have been involved in the Capitol riots.
Surveillance video shows federal agents outside Adam Honeycutt's girlfriend's home.
The FBI descends on two Manhattan apartment buildings.
He was arrested today. We're looking at a video of his arrest of when he was taken into custody by federal agents.
Many domestic terrorism from white supremacists is the most lethal terrorist threat in the homeland.
The biggest threat to Americans is not jihadists overseas. It's homegrown domestic terrorists inspired by white supremacists.
Is domestic violent extremism.
Domestic terrorism is our number one threat. What we need is to take the laws we already have and apply them to white people.
If we can go after international terrorists, why can't we do it at home?
You can't hide from the FBI. And if your friends, neighbors, and ex-wives don't jam you up, facial recognition is going to.
And now this is not a crisis. This is a full-blown disaster that they've created.
More than 13,000 unaccompanied minors are in U.S. custody, and the Biden administration is searching for places to house them.
But it is total mayhem when the sun goes down out here.
It's fair to call the deteriorating situation at the U.S.-Mexican border a crisis, even if the Biden administration refuses to use that word.
This significant surge coming after President Biden ended Donald Trump's so-called remain in Mexico policy.
So did you come here because Joe Biden was elected president?
Basically.
The idea that they were A, prepared, and B, that things are going well on the border seems disconnected from reality.
They're jail-like facilities. They're not meant for children at all, while the administration is struggling and searching for somewhere else to put them. And the other aspect has been the lack of transparency for cameras to actually.
Biden administration restricting media access at the border.
The capacity for this location for COVID purposes is 250. You know, we're holding over 4,100. We're way over capacity. We're like 700% over capacity.
Do you have plans to visit the border?
Not today.
Overnight, the frantic flow of migrants was relentless.
There are now more than 17,000 unaccompanied children in U.S. government custody. The Texas Department of Public Safety tells us the surge has been nonstop. Some families taking a drastic step, choosing to separate, sending their children alone over the border because they know the Biden administration will let them stay.
The U.S. Border Patrol apprehended nearly 180,000 migrants trying to cross the border in April, the highest number in 20 years.
Americans don't see a lot of that on a daily basis. What they do see at their own border, children being lowered over fences, children coming in with, you know, phone numbers stenciled on their hand.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you have any plans to visit the border?
At some point, you know, we are going to the border. We've been to the border. So this whole thing about the border, we've been to the border. We've been to the border.
You haven't been to the border.
I haven't been to Europe. And I don't understand the point that you're making.
We learned last night that in July, more than 19,000 unaccompanied children were encountered. That already surpasses the record in March. So in July, DHS is anticipating 210,000 arrests.
All federal employees must be fully vaccinated by November 22nd. A conservative think tank obtained a Border Patrol document which shows nearly half of the agents have not registered their vaccination status. 10% who did register have not received any doses yet. In a worst-case scenario, more than half of all Border Patrol agents could be fired under the new federal vaccine mandate.
Businesses are boarded up and dying. Crime is skyrocketing, and the homeless crisis has reached a breaking point.
Uncontrolled vandalism that has forced businesses to close.
Nightly shootings have Portlanders on edge.
Just gotta be careful here with some gunshots. Excuse us. It sounds like gunshots. I'll let you know what this is.
Is that... Oh, isn't that wonderful?
Gunfire interrupts St. Louis Mayor Tashara Jones today as she talks about what the city needs to do to reduce gun violence.
Three people stopped to take cell phone video of a man filling a garbage bag with items in a San Francisco Walgreens.
I live in the city and I see this constantly.
Unable to justify profit-crushing theft, stores are closing.
That the city of Los Angeles has lost a decade of progress in beating back crime.
Crime is not out of control in our city. In fact, crime is on the decline.
Destroying property which can be replaced is not violence.
Just returned, told us that the briefcase and the luggage case that was right on top was taken. Now, we also spotted another car across the street also getting broken into. It used to be a perpetual cycle of smash and grabs, hour after hour.
If they think that they're going to go back to the old ways of policing, then we are going to take to the streets again. There will be riots, there will be fire, and there will be bloodshed.
Despite the glaring evidence and the violent assault that sent the 30-year-old officer to the hospital, one day later, Thompson is back on the street, freed without bail.
While some of these images, of course, are shocking to look at, they are absolutely not surprising to anyone who lives in San Francisco. No. The district attorney has signaled there, we're just not going to prosecute property crimes. We're going to do it at a much lower rate than it's ever been done.
And about 10 people stormed into the store, pulled out guns, and just started piling stuff into suitcases. It's been San Francisco is out of control. Portland is out of control.
There are people who logically do not want to come downtown.
A mother and her toddler targeted in their Hancock Park driveway by brazen thieves. The victim opens her gate and walks in with the stroller, the two suspects following in behind her.
14 people arrested from those, all back out on the streets, and you say that they're out in the street faster than the paperwork can be done.
A man facing charges for allegedly raping a woman on a busy SEPTA subway train. No one tried to help her.
Philadelphia has recorded its 500th homicide of the year.
In a video, the woman was being chased before the gunman shot her three times at close range. Here yesterday's shooting makes 2021 the deadliest year in the city since 1990.
Today, District Attorney Larry Krasner said there is no major spike in violent crime and no reason for people to be fearful of gun violence when they come into the city.
But basically, we don't have a crisis of lawlessness. We don't have a crisis of crime. We don't have a crisis of violence.
Does the president still think that crime is up because of the pandemic?
I think many people have conveyed that.
So when a huge group of criminals organizes themselves and they want to go loot a store, a CVS, a Nordstrom, a Home Depot, until the shelves are clean, you think that's because of the pandemic?
I think a root cause in a lot of communities is the pandemic, yes.
Latest now on the FBI raid of Rudy Giuliani's New York City home and office. Authorities seized electronic devices, including a cell phone, from President Trump's personal attorney during his time at the White House.
Federal agents raided Giuliani's Manhattan apartment, waking him up at 6 o'clock in the morning.
If this can happen to the former president's lawyer, this can happen to any American.
Federal agents also seized the computer of Giuliani's longtime
personal assistant, and George, they issued a subpoena for her.
Were you aware of that raid before it happened?
I give you my word I was not. I made a pledge.
Again, I'm warning you, if you are a progressive that may cheer on Rudy Giuliani getting in the newspaper, I promise you this is un-American. And when they turn on people that you support or a member of your family, you'll understand just how dangerous and how un-American this is.
The Trump Organization's longtime CFO appearing in handcuffs, indicted tonight along with the company that bears the former president's name.
These charges are unprecedented. They are unique. All of this is on the books and records of the company. That's how they know about it. In 244 years, we have not had a local prosecutor go after a former president of the United States.
I'm not entirely sure there were any taxable fringe benefit cases brought in federal court last year. This is not something taxable fringe benefits that becomes a criminal tax fraud case very often.
Yesterday, we heard from a whistleblower within the U.S. government who reached out to warn us that the NSA, the National Security Agency, is monitoring our electronic communications and is planning to leak them in an attempt to take the show off the air. The whistleblower, who is in a position to know, repeated back to us information about a story that we are working on that could have only come directly from my texts and emails. The Biden administration is spying on us. We have confirmed that.
After the FBI raided the home of Project Veritas CEO and founder James O'Keefe, along with other Project Veritas journalists, as part of an investigation into a diary believed to have been written by Joe Biden's daughter, Ashley.
But I woke up to a pre-dawn raid, banging on my door, and there were 10 FBI agents with a battering ram. They turned me around, handcuffed me, and threw me against the hallway. They confiscated my phone, they raided my apartment.
And the question is, why is this a federal crime? You know, this is a missing diary. Also, this is occurring long after the loss of this diary. Has this investigation been going on since the start of the administration? But it also brings up memories of how the FBI has intervened in the past for Biden family members.
Spying on opposition journalists is incompatible with democracy. If they are doing it to us, and again, they are definitely doing it to us, they are almost certainly doing it to others. This is scary, and we need to stop it right away.
So far this year, at least 14 states have passed new laws that make it harder to vote. And some jurisdictions, based on disinformation, have utilized abnormal post-election audit methodologies.
States across the country race to enact laws to suppress voting.
Is this all voter suppression in action?
Extraordinary surge of voter suppression laws.
There's a huge wave of new voter suppression efforts.
Republican voter suppression efforts.
Massive voter suppression.
This is Jim Crow on steroids, what they're doing in Georgia.
Parts of our country are backsliding into the days of Jim Crow.
Can Arizona's election audit get any more laughable?
Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs audit.
I think it's just downright bizarre.
The whole thing is ludicrous. Quite frankly, it's ludicrous.
Do you want to avoid another terror attack on the U.S. Capitol?
Simply checking for bamboo traces on ballots.
They're actually examining the ballots with UV light to see if there are any traces of bamboo in the paper.
You know, there's bamboo ninja.
Bamboo paper and cyber ninja's fake audit.
Yeah, I think the Justice Department has got to be involved and has to be aggressively involved. You know, that fraudit that is going on in Arizona now.
In Arizona, Joe Biden beat Donald Trump by 11,000 votes. An audit in Maricopa County, done by an outside firm, found 57,000 questionable ballots.
So you admit that you guys did delete, Maricopa County did delete files off the server after the election?
That are archived.
Can you explain to me why data was still present for prior elections on the databases in and of itself?
Yeah, I don't have an answer to that question.
And the audit wasn't as thorough as it could have been because Arizona officials wouldn't fully cooperate and some evidence was removed and destroyed.
In
certainly, you know, it's costing more to buy just the basic items to feed your family.
We've gone from stagnation to an economy that is growing faster than it has in nearly 40 years.
Consumer prices rose in March at the fastest pace in 9 years. Gasoline prices rose over 9% in a single month. Propane, kerosene, firewood, 16%.
Most economic analysts believe that it will have a temporary or transitory impact.
In the end, it will be transitory.
A lot of that seems to be transitory.
But most of the price increases we've seen were expected.
Housing, that is real low.
Products are not just harder to get, but more expensive. Beef, up 17%. New and used cars, up 24%. And gas, up 42%.
Take a look at the stock market now. It's higher than it's ever been.
If you take a look at what economy's growing,
the United States.
In America.
Oh my God, that is hilarious. Would that I had the magic wand on this. As you know, of course, oil is a global market. It is controlled by a cartel.
Inflation as a product of demand has an upside, correct?
6.2%. That's the highest since October of 1990.
Meanwhile, the rest of employees basically see their wages go down in inflation terms. So
again, I think it's premature to say. What I would be saying to the president is I would just ask him to keep doing what he's doing.
If you care about inflation, then pass the Build Back Better Act. That's what's in the Build Back Better Act, and it's why, if you care about inflation, pass the Build Back Better Act.
Best thing we can do is pass Build Back Better.
And the Build Back Better agenda will help reduce inflation.
While nobody likes to pay more, on average, we have the money to do so.
Experts say there are new signs of economic recovery fueling a wave of optimism across the country.
Created 6 million jobs this year. That's more than any president in history has created in his first year in office.
To me, we have the strongest economy perhaps I have ever seen. See that number this morning, that unemployment number? It's the best in years, not best in 69.
You know, under this president's leadership, he has overseen the greatest resurgence in an economy in his first year in office. You know, greater than any other president that we know of.
Big economic relief for millions of Americans who have been dealing with soaring energy prices. Cost at the pump finally easing up, with the national average for a gallon of regular falling to $3.35, the lowest since October. Just look at that.
We'll not conduct a hasty rush to the exit. We'll do it responsibly, deliberately, and safely.
Conduct our retrograde in a safe, orderly, and responsible fashion. Our plan is to maintain an embassy there.
Not long ago, Bagram was the epicenter of America's longest war. When U.S. troops left, they cut the power.
The Americans say that they handed over this base to the Afghans in an orderly way so that they could continue the fight against extremists.
Taliban are making rapid advances now that the Americans have left here.
But there's a 300,000 plus or minus military force, and it is their job to defend their country. And I want to understand white rage, and I'm white. And I want to understand it.
One, we're not withdrawing. We're staying. The embassy is staying.
Is a Taliban takeover of Afghanistan now inevitable?
No.
Your own intelligence community has assessed that the Afghan government will likely collapse.
That is not true. The drawdown is proceeding in a secure and orderly way.
Kabul is not in an imminent threat environment.
Right now, where Taliban fighters have captured the city of Jalalabad, the capital of Nangarhar province. It was one of two remaining government strongholds, and really just a few hours' drive away from the capital, Kabul.
Helicopters and airplanes circled over Kabul, shuttling between the embassy, where sensitive documents were burned, and the airport, as the Taliban closed in.
This is standard operating procedure. There are plans in place. This is being done in a very deliberate way. It's being done in an orderly way, and it's being done with American forces there to make sure we can do it in a safe way. Let's take a step back. This is manifestly not Saigon. The fact of the matter is this.
The Taliban are now in complete control of Afghanistan. The sudden capture of the country's capital has shocked the world and caused bedlam this morning at the Kabul airport, where thousands of Afghans
are struggling to get on the next plane out. Many observers compare the scenes to the fall of South Vietnam back in 1975.
Taliban fighters took control of the capital less than 20 years after U.S. forces overthrew their government. Afghanistan's president fled the country, and much of the population is in hiding.
The desperation is undeniable as Afghans fleeing the Taliban scramble to climb onto a C-17 taking off from Kabul airport. This video appears to show those who couldn't hang on.
The Kabul airport where U.S. troops are scrambling to fly Americans and allies out of the country. But anyone trying to get to the airport has to pass through Taliban checkpoints, and not everyone's getting through.
President Biden get this so wrong?
There is only one person to hold responsible, and that is President Biden.
I mean, to hear Jake Sullivan call this the successful drawdown of the U.S. embassy there, his words, I mean, is almost comical.
Where is the president? You know, why isn't he communicating fulsomely to the American people? I mean, why isn't he out there now? Kabul fell yesterday. Where is the president?
I inherited a deal that President Trump negotiated with the Taliban. And some of the Afghans did not want to leave early because the Afghan government and its supporters discouraged us from organizing a mass exodus. Afghanistan political leaders gave up. The Afghan military collapsed.
The president said that the buck stopped with him, but in fact, the speech was full of finger pointing and blame, especially for the Afghans.
You can't really say the buck stops with me if you don't really take the blame.
But we've all seen the pictures. We've seen those hundreds of people packed into a C-17. We've seen Afghans falling.
That was 4 days ago, 5 days ago. But the idea that somehow there's a way to have gotten out without chaos ensuing, I don't know how that happened.
So for you, that was always priced into the decision?
Yes.
And then what he also said was he insisted that the United States had planned for all contingencies, including the rapid fall of Kabul.
There was nothing that I or anyone else saw that indicated a collapse of this army and this government in 11 days.
This is about America leading the world, and all our allies have agreed with that. But let me be clear. Any American who wants to come home, we will get you home.
It is insane. There are people holding their American passports. There are people that work with the Americans, and they're not letting anyone in.
The completion by August 31st depends upon the Taliban continuing to cooperate.
Does the U.S. military consider the Taliban an enemy?
We're our focus right now. The thing we're working against.
The suicide bombing did occur at the Abbey Gate. There are Afghan casualties, as you just heard. There are at least three injuries to American service members who were standing at that gate. The State Department put out the alert yesterday that Americans should not come to the gates. Concerns that ISIS or other bad actors would try to disrupt in these final days, the Americans pulling out so as to look as though they are pushing the Americans out.
At this time, we know that 12 U.S. service members have been killed in the attack. And 15 more service members have been injured. And we're doing everything we can to be prepared for those attacks. That includes reaching out to the Taliban, who are actually providing the outer security cordon around the airfield, to make sure they know what we expect them to do to protect us.
We will not forgive. We will not forget. We will hunt you down and make you pay.
Today in Afghanistan, the U.S. striking back. Delivering on the promise of retaliation for a suicide bombing at Kabul airport 48 hours earlier. A CENTCOM spokesman said the target is believed to have been killed with no known civilian casualties.
I am now convinced that as many as 10 civilians, including up to 7 children, were tragically killed in that strike. It is unlikely that the vehicle and those who died were associated with ISIS-K.
That stunning admission from the Pentagon that a drone strike in Kabul amid the chaotic U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan killed 10 civilians with no connection to ISIS-K.
But at this point, we think that the procedures were correctly followed and it was a righteous strike.
How does it strike you that no one is held accountable? Because I know how it strikes a lot of people around the world that you can get away with murder and nobody's punished for it.
I'm not supposed to take any questions, but go ahead.
Mr. President, on Afghanistan...
I'm not going to answer Afghanistan now.
Can you say if there's still an acute risk?
We believe that we're down to a population of 300 or fewer American citizens.
We believe there are still a small number of Americans, under 200, and likely closer to 100, who remain in Afghanistan and want to leave.
And are you committed to making sure that the troops stay until every American who wants to be out is out?
Yes, I think we'll get there.
So Americans should understand that troops might have to be there beyond August 31st.
No, Americans should understand that we're going to try to get it done before August 31st.
But if we don't, the troops will stay.
If we don't, we'll determine at the time who's left.
And
if there are American forces, if there's American citizens left, we're going to stay till we get them all out.
I'm here to announce the completion of our withdrawal from Afghanistan, and I believe our Department of State is going to work very hard to allow any American citizens that are left, and we think the citizens that were not brought out number in the low, very low hundreds.
The concept of no man left behind is centuries old, and it is a concrete commitment that inspires loyalty. Do we still believe in that commitment?
Inside Afghanistan tonight, the State Department revealing there are 225 Americans still stranded, more than they initially announced.
Why is it that there are still Americans stranded in Afghanistan? 479 left behind is a lot higher than the 100 to 200.
And if there are American forces, if there's American citizens left, we're going to stay till we get them all out.
The extraordinary success of this mission. So we were ready when the Afghan security forces, after 2 decades of fighting for their country and losing thousands of their own, did not hold on as long as anyone expected. We were ready when they and the people of Afghanistan watched their own government collapse. This is the way the mission was designed. It was designed to operate under severe stress and attack, and that's what it did.
And anytime you're over 50 in this polarized environment, that's really solid. It's sort of the new 60%.
President of the United States offering a bold new plan.
Big, bold, huge progressive ideas.
Big and bold.
Really bold, sweeping legislation.
A big, bold, ambitious plans.
We've been talking over these last few moments about how bold these plans are.
How have Americans been responding to the president's address?
We got 85% approving of the speech. Presidential, caring in this case. Many thought the speech was...
And Joe Biden's popularity continues to rise.
A new polling shows President Biden's approval sinking fast. 43% of Americans say they approve of the president's job performance. That's down 6% from July.
These new poll numbers, frankly, are brutal for the president. Only 38% of Americans approve.
Just 22% of adults say we're headed in the right direction. A shocking 71% say we're on the wrong track.
The president is now polling about as badly as the former president ever did.
Is my polling numbers are the same, essentially what everyone from Bush to Clinton to, all of Obama were at the same time.
Brand new poll, and it's brutal for President Biden. I have to confess, I find Joe Biden's unpopularity puzzling.
Do we have assaults in our bathrooms or our locker rooms?
To my knowledge, we don't have any records of assaults occurring in our restroom.
Have we had any issues involving transgender students in our bathrooms or locker rooms since the passage of 1040?
Ms. Sheridan, we have not had any issues to my knowledge.
The predator transgender student is, or person, simply, it does not exist. And
deputies charged the other man, Scott Smith of Leesburg, with obstruction of justice and disorderly conduct after he allegedly physically threatened another person at the meeting.
Newly disclosed emails show the Biden White House collaborated with an outside interest group, the National School Boards Association, helping its members craft a letter to President Biden that became the basis 5 days later for a memo by Attorney General Merrick Garland issuing orders to the FBI. The association urged the president in a September 29 letter to consider using the Patriot Act to convict domestic terrorists.
The Loudoun County Public Schools covered up the rape of a 14-year-old girl at the hands of a boy wearing a skirt, and as a result of concealing that, a second girl was raped last week. And to prevent all of this from coming out, potentially, they arrested the father of the victim, and he's now the face of domestic terrorism listed individually by the National School Boards Association, all for coming to that meeting. He didn't come to that meeting because he's a bigot. They knew nothing about him. This was a caring father who was involved because of something very personal that happened to his daughter. Instead, they demeaned him, they arrested him, and they tried to put him in jail.
These actions could be the equivalent to a form of domestic terrorism.
It is dangerous to our children when the parents themselves are the school bully.
I don't think parents should be telling schools what they should teach.
We have a board of ed working with the local school boards to determine the curriculum for our schools. You don't want parents coming in every different school jurisdiction.
And they want to shut down our schools and, you know, move kids over to charter schools and private schools without the oversight of the state. And that's wrong.
We don't have time to be wasting on these phony, trumped-up culture wars, this fake outrage that the right-wing media peddles to juice their ratings, and the fact that he's willing to go along with it instead of talking about serious problems that actually affect serious people.
So Barack Obama, who really is a heartless monster, and I'm glad that's clear to everyone now, described the rape of a child as phony right-wing outrage?
A judge finding this week a 14-year-old male student guilty on two counts of sexual assault. Officials saying he wore a skirt, entered a girl's bathroom, and assaulted a 15-year-old female student back in May.
The predator transgender student is, or person, simply, it does not exist. And
that refers to Scott Smith, whose 15-year-old daughter was raped, and the Loudoun County School Board covered it up because it would have interfered with their transgendered policy during Pride Month. Do you apologize to Scott Smith and his 15-year-old daughter, Judge? But he was cited by the School Board Association as a domestic terrorist, which we now know that letter and those reports were the basis for your...
No, Senator, that's wrong.
Judge, this is shameful. This testimony, your directive, your performance is shameful. Thank God you are not on the Supreme Court. You should resign in disgrace, Judge.
Parents demanding resignations after they say a sexual assault on campus was covered up. Now, it's a hot-button issue in the state's very tight governor's race.
Shows that Youngkin is pulling ahead of McAuliffe by an 8-point margin.
And I'm here today because I believe Virginia will make the right choice.
That what you all do here over the next 9 days will determine the next 4 years for this country.
Because you see, what happens in Virginia will in large part determine what happens in 2022, 2024, and on.
We're going to win. I think we're going to win in Virginia.
Republican Glenn Youngkin has defeated Democrat Terry McAuliffe, a big night for the GOP, an alarm bell for President Biden and the Democrats heading into next year's midterm elections.
And the fact of the matter is that Joe Biden is not a popular president as we sit here this morning. In Virginia, a state he won by 10 points, he's at 45% approval rating right now.
I'm going to ban critical race theory. That is like us banning the ghost.
Right.
There isn't any critical race theory. It's a legal theory not taught in public schools in Virginia.
So
critical race theory, which isn't real, turned the suburbs 15 points to the Trump insurrection-endorsed Republican.
These Republicans are dangerous. That this isn't a party that's just another political party that disagrees with us on tax policy. That at this point, they're dangerous. They're dangerous to our national security.
Congresswoman Maxine Waters appeared to incite protesters in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota. The California congresswoman breaking the local curfew far from her home district.
We're looking for a guilty verdict. Well, we got to stay on the street. We've got to get more confrontational.
This as tensions remain high with a verdict in the Derek Chauvin trial expected this week.
I'm aware that Congresswoman Waters was talking specifically about this trial. I wish elected officials would stop talking about this case, especially in a manner that is disrespectful to the rule of law and to the judicial branch in our function.
Guilty on all three counts, guilty second-degree murder, guilty third-degree murder, guilty second-degree manslaughter.
And such a verdict is also much too rare.
I would not call today's verdict justice.
This verdict is not justice.
This was not the system working.
I am glad that he is guilty of all charges because I want a verdict that keeps this country from going up in flames.
Almost 1,000 people have been murdered by police, have been killed by police since George Floyd lost his life.
Many of us still live in fear as we go to the grocery store or worry about
walking our dogs
or allowing our children to get a license.
Rittenhouse is basically what you would have had in a school shooter. Cross state lines to supposedly protect property? No, he was going out to shoot people.
Vigilante.
The vigilante, teenage vigilante.
17-year-old vigilante, arguably a domestic terrorist.
A guy who's deeply racist.
Just running around, shooting and killing protesters.
And that crowd was right. And that crowd was full of heroes. That crowd did something that, honestly, I'm not sure I would have had the courage to do. You lose the right to self-defense when you're the one who brought the gun.
He brought a gun to a fist fight. And he was too cowardly to use his own fist to fight his way out.
A van transporting the jury was aggressively tailed by a freelance producer.
I have instructed that no one from MSNBC News will be permitted in this building.
Overnight, scattered protests from coast to coast from people angered by the verdict. Marchers on the streets in Brooklyn, New York. A riot declared in Portland, Oregon. But in Kenosha, Wisconsin, the center of it all, a sigh of relief and a peaceful night after a jury acquitted Kyle Rittenhouse of all counts Friday.
Of a biased, racist judge.
The fact that white supremacists roam the halls of Congress freely and celebrate this little murderous white supremacist.
The thing that occurred to me after this ruling is, oh, well, okay, now it's just open season. Like, if I'm walking around and I'm a white nationalist, you know, coward little kid, with an AR-15, and I see somebody drive by with a Black Lives Matter bumper sticker, and I feel threatened, I can open fire.
But for the authoritarians among us, this is a disaster. They can't let it go. Why? Because they understand the Rittenhouse case is a referendum on the most basic right of all, the ancient right of self-defense. If Kyle Rittenhouse can save his own life from the mob, then you can too. And that drives them insane.
Breaking news on this Sunday night before Thanksgiving, and it comes out of Wisconsin, the city of Waukesha. Apparently, a red SUV plowed through the crowd that was there to watch a Christmas parade.
The subject was taken into custody a short distance from the scene, and we are confident he acted alone. There's no evidence that this is a terrorist incident. This is not a terrorist event.
Waukesha will hold a moment of silence today, marking 1 week since a car drove through a city Christmas parade, killing six people and injuring scores of others.
Democrats like to focus on the weapon when they don't want to make villains out of the criminals, when that criminal kind of flies in the face of the narrative that they're pushing.
Why hasn't the president visited the members of this Christmas parade attack?
The Waukesha Christmas parade attack left six people dead after Darryl Brooks Jr. purposely plowed his car into a crowd. A black nationalist and convicted sex offender with a felony rap sheet posted low bail twice this year after punching his girlfriend in the face and running her over with his car. Joe Biden dead silent on the Waukesha massacre, but wouldn't shut up about Kyle Rittenhouse last year.
Or in the racist politics of the Democratic Party, it's a non-event. It can't be allowed to occur because it breaks up the drama and it breaks up the narrative.
Morning, the special counsel appointed by former President Trump's Justice Department to investigate the Russia investigation, John Durham, has now charged a prominent Democratic lawyer.
Michael Sussman is a former federal prosecutor and prominent cybersecurity lawyer who represented the Democrats, including the Hillary Clinton campaign.
The Biden's now national security advisor, Jake Sullivan, he was in this web of Democrat insiders as Hillary's foreign policy advisor. He knew about the fake Trump-Russia Alpha Bank story.
Analyst, who was a key source for the Steele dossier, was arrested this morning.
Igor Danchenko, he's a Russian-born analyst living in the United States.
With five counts of lying to the FBI and creating a false narrative during the Trump-Russia investigation in 2017, is linked to a longtime Clinton ad man, Dolan.
They had to be closely connected in order to coordinate what they were feeding each other.
That there was collusion involving the Clinton campaign and Russians to create a dossier.
And this indictment brings it right to the doorstep of Hillary Clinton. It brings it right to the doorstep of the Clinton campaign and the Democrat Party. This was a theft from the American people. They elected their president, his time, his energy, and that of his staffers were stolen. Thousands upon thousands of hours were stolen by rogue bureaucrats working in our intelligence services, in the FBI, and across the government to impose their will over the will of the American people.
Everyone associated with the Steele dossier, with its creation, its peddling to the FBI, and its use with by law enforcement authorities against the Trump campaign illegally, is in criminal jeopardy right now.
People would ask me, knowing what you know now, do you wish like you had a third term? If I could make an arrangement where I had a stand-in, a front man or front woman, and they had an earpiece in, and I was just in my basement in my sweats, looking through the stuff, and then I could sort of deliver the lines, but somebody else was doing all the talking and ceremony. Wow. I'd be fine with that because I found the work fascinating.
Anyone with eyes and ears can see and hear that Joe is not totally fine. Yesterday's brand new Rasmussen poll revealing half of the country is now worried that Joe Biden is not physically or mentally up to the job.
Excuse me, Pinnell. And what am I doing here? I'm going to lose track here. And the former general, I keep calling him general, but the guy who runs that outfit over there.
It's a national security crisis because our adversaries around the world, Iran, Russia, Venezuela, China, they're watching this. They're looking at this. They're looking at the United States, its chief representative, the president of our country, who's unable to get through even a softball interview without a cheat sheet, who falls down not once, not twice, but three times going up a flight of stairs.
So the best way to get something done, if it holds near and dear to you that you like to be able to, anyway, we're going to get a lot done.
I wrote the bill on the environment. Pay them more. This is an employee's.
Who's really running the Biden administration? Not Joe.
You guys are bad. I'm not supposed to be answering all these questions. I'm supposed to leave.
India, they're suffering at
what
this
do you
moment.
Say to the folks in India? You
look, I'm sorry. I'm going to, this last question I'll take, and I'm really going to be in trouble. I'm sorry. I'm going to get in trouble with staff if I don't do this the right way. Jennifer Jacobs Bloomberg. I'll take your questions, and as usual, folks, they gave me a list of the people I'm going to call on. So, Jonathan, Associated Press.
I'm happy to take questions if that's what I'm supposed to do, Nance, whatever you want me to do.
There you have it, the year in review with the theme of America under attack. We have a booklet, of course, that goes by the very same name. If you don't have that booklet, now would be a good time to get it. You can call our operators today. Just call 1-866-930-3024. I just want to also draw your attention to this January. We've already got a February issue. It's available online if you go to our website. But the January issue of the Trumpet magazine, Face the Storm. And as we've noted over and again, even on yesterday's show multiple times, This magazine, God's Magazine, it gives you tomorrow's news today. There's an article in that January issue, Why Your World is Changing So Suddenly. My father says, in the process, the true agenda of the radical elites is being unmasked. It really is a communist takeover. It really is communist infiltration. Just like Herbert Armstrong said, and he was right. Here's another publication, all of our material, of course. We offer it to you freely. There's no cost, no obligation. So just call that toll-free number to order. He was right, and to subscribe to The Trumpet. Tomorrow, we take a broader view, a more worldwide view with the end of the year montage. Be sure to tune in to the show. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We thank you for joining us on today's program, and we'll see you tomorrow.